So we're reading from chapter 16. Thank you. So I went to Mayapur Dam and also to Vrindavan Dam. So about 4 months ago, I went to Vrindavan Dam for the first time in about 8 years. And before I went, I had a preference for Mayapur Dam. So I used to live there and I preferred it. But then when I went a few months ago to Vrindavan, I thought, you know what, I actually prefer Vrindavan to Mayapur. But then just over a month ago, I went to Mayapur and Vrindavan. And when I went to Mayapur, I thought, you know what, I actually prefer Mayapur to Vrindavan. And then 10 days later, I went to Vrindavan, and guess what happened? I started to prefer Vrindavan. So I haven't decided which is the best. I mean, from the point of view of getting the mercy, then I think Mayapur Dam is nothing beats it. Because it's said that even you sleeping in Mayapur Dam, it's like you get the benefit for offering obeisances. And any offences you commit, the merciful Lords, they do not take that seriously. So it's a wonderful dam to be in. But the tradition, there's so many beautiful temples. You know, when we walk around the streets of London, you see all this advertising, and it's not very Krishna conscious. Then you walk around Vrindavan Dam, and practically every second building is a temple. And the doors are open, and you just look inside, you see the beautiful forms of the deities. And when I first came to Vrindavan, I was thinking, well, whenever I see deities, I will offer my obeisances. And after a while, I thought, you know what, I'm seeing every few steps, there's another set of deities, and this is not practical. So I stopped. So let's just talk about today's verse. So the background is, the chapter's called The Lord Attempts to Go to Vrindavan. And I'll ask this question, which I asked the last time I gave class. Did the Lord succeed in going to Vrindavan on this attempt? Anyone like to answer? No, yes. So any elaboration on that? What happened? Why did the Lord not go to Vrindavan? Say again? Could not leave the devotees. He was actually bound by love for his devotees. There's actually more to this. Sanatana Goswami, he told the Lord, they didn't want him to go. And Sanatana Goswami said, you know, you shouldn't go to Vrindavan at this time because look at the crowds of people. And it's not good to go to Vrindavan with a big crowd. It's like you're drawing attention to yourself. So the Lord actually chose to actually follow this advice. At first he ignored it, but then he thought later on, you know what, I think Sanatana Goswami is actually correct. This isn't the right mood when there's a big crowd of people. Of course, the Lord is so popular, wherever he goes, there's a crowd of people following him. And then it's mentioned that there's this brahmachari, Nrsingananda Brahmachari, and in his meditation, he was actually creating a beautiful flower pathway road to Vrindavan in his mind. But then his meditation goes broken when he got to Kanai Natashala. And then he told the rest of the devotees, you know what, the Lord is not going to make it because I cannot build this road. I cannot create this path in my mind for the Lord. So he understood the Lord would not go. That's exactly what happened. So he returns to Shantipur and he meets with these fabulously wealthy, and not only wealthy, they are aristocratic, they are the topmost followers of religion, topmost followers of Brahminical culture, and their names are Govardhan and Hiranya. And Govardhan, as I mentioned previously, is the father of Raghunath Das Goswami. So it said, Namo Maha Vidanyaya Krishna Pramapatayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvase Namaha. Supreme Lord is magnanimous, and actually when Rupa Goswami met the Lord, he glorifies him as Mahavidanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayati, giving Krishna Prema. Krishnaya, he's none other than Krishna himself, Krishna Chaitanya, he is known as Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gaura Tvase Namaha, and he has this golden complexion. So this is one of the verses that we say when we offer prasadam, which is kind of interesting. What's the connection? Well, Mahaprabhu's a great personality, so that's the only reason I can think that we do this. But there's another verse we offer at the same time. Namo Brahmanya Devaga Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha, where we offer obeisances to Lord Krishna, who's described as Brahmanya Dev, which means he is the worshipable deity of the Brahminical culture, Brahminical culture is glorious because their deva, their worshipful deity, is Krishna. So it's interesting, when we see the term Brahmana in our scriptures, it can mean one of two things. Sometimes it means the Vaishnav Brahmana, who we worship and we offer service to. And then there are the Karmakand Brahmanas, who aren't necessarily devotees of Krishna. And they are a different category. So when we see giving of charity to the Brahmanas, it can mean a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the qualification of the Brahmana. So I'm going to read, there's a verse in the Adi Lila. Koti Ashvamedha Eka Krishna Nama Sama Ye Kahi Se Pashandi Dandi Tari Yama. That if one says that 10 million Ashvamedha Yajnas is equal to one name of the Lord, Eka Krishna Nam, that person is considered to be a Pashandi and will be punished by Yamaraj. So this is not hyperbole, actually. I was listening to Hari Parshad Prabhu lecture, and he was explaining that there is sometimes hyperbole in scriptures, but whenever there is glorification of the holy name, it is actual fact. It's not an exaggeration. So it's not an exaggeration to say that 10 million Ashvamedha Yajnas are not equal to one name, Krishna. Because one is in the realm of Karma Kand, and one is in the realm of pure Bhakti, Krishna Nam. And in the purport to this Koti Ashvamedha Yajna verse, I'm going to read to you what Prabhupada writes. Shri Shri Radha Gokulan and the Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Prabhupada writes, even if one distributes 10 million cows in charity during an eclipse of the sun, lives at the confluence of the Ganges and the Yamuna for millions of years, or gives a mountain of gold in sacrifice to the Brahmanas, he does not earn 1/100th part of the merit derived from chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, one who accepts the chanting of Hare Krishna to be some kind of pious activity is completely misled. Of course, it is the pious, but the real fact is that Krishna and his name being transcendental are far above all mundane pious activity. I'll read a bit more. If one is situated in the same transcendental position with the Lord, one cannot serve the Supreme Lord. That's actually from Bhagavad Gita. To be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus, the qualification to become Brahman, or freed from all material contamination, is said in the Vedic literature, Brahmaiva san brahmarpya eti. One cannot attain the supreme Brahman by becoming Brahman. This means that one must qualitatively become one with Brahman. By attainment of Brahman, one does not lose his eternal Brahman identity as the individual soul. This is actually from the Bhagavad Gita, the second thing I read. But it's an interesting statement that one can attain the supreme by becoming Brahman. So it's unusual for Prabhupada to talk about becoming one with Brahman. Normally he criticizes this as Mayavad. But actually, the real qualification for devotional service is to become one qualitatively with the Lord. Then one's devotional service will be pure because one will understand the desire of the Lord. So we're discussing the qualifications of Brahmanas. So what is actually the definition of a Brahma? Brahman. Brahma janatiti brahmanaha. Who knows this phrase? Prabhupada quotes it quite often. Brahma janatiti brahmanaha. One who knows Brahma, or one who has realized transcendence, is a Brahman. So that's a very high qualification. So when we consider ourselves Brahmins, as we sometimes do if we get initiation, in one sense we should be humble and think, actually, we're not actually on that platform yet. If we haven't realized Brahman, we're not really a Brahmana. So Prabhupada, he quotes the Vedic literature, Janmana jayate shudra, sanskarad bhaved dvija, veda patad bhaved vipro, Brahma janatiti brahmanaha. By birth, everyone is Shudra. By Sangskara, or by receiving initiation, receiving the mantras, receiving, taking part in the fire yajna, one becomes a Dvija, twice born. Then by study of the Vedas, Veda Patad Bhaved Vipra, one becomes a Vipra. And then when one gets realization of Brahman, transcendence, which is actually millions of times higher bliss than the bliss of even Lord Indra, then one is considered to be a Brahmana. So, giving, the question then arises, should we be giving to Brahmanas? And the answer is, well, if they're Vaishnava Brahmanas, then of course we should give to them because it's Vaishnava Seva. But if they're Karmakan Brahmanas, then there's actually a reaction. One actually has to take birth. It's interesting how karma kand works. If you give in charity, you have to take birth in your next life to receive the reward of that. That's why we have to be careful about Sukriti. You know, we hear that by chanting the holy name, our Sukriti and our Duskriti is destroyed. And we think to ourselves, well, it's good that our Duskriti is destroyed, but we may be not thinking it's very nice that our Sukriti is destroyed. But actually, the destruction of Sukriti is good because it stops us from continuing the cycle of birth and death. Giving charity is one of the prescribed duties of Vaishnavas as well. It's actually one of the natural qualities of the jiva. It's said that Krishna has unlimited qualities, but 64 are described by Rupa Goswami. One of them is Dhanavira, which means very charitable. So it's actually said at the time when Lord Krishna was residing in Dwarka, the opulence of Dwarka exceeded even that of the Vaikuntha planets. That is the... And why? Because the Lord was giving so much in charity. We hear how Hiranya and Govardhan, they were giving land, money, villages even. They're giving away villages to the Brahmins. So because we're part and parcel of Krishna, it is natural for us to be charitable. Now, most people, myself included, we feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes giving in charity, especially if we're asked to give a lot. You know, now I was mentioning I was in India. So we're in India, sometimes you see these people sitting on the street and they have little piles of coins and they keep 10%. So if you've got, say, 100 rupees, they'll give you 100 rupees in coins, but they actually will give you 90 rupees in coins and they'll keep 10 rupees. And the reason people do this is because they don't like to go to past all the temples, all the beggars, and they don't want to be seen to be uncharitable. But at the same time, there's so many worthy causes, they can't give charity to everyone and every temple. So what they do is they get the coins. It's the same when you go around Govardhan. If you do Govardhan Parakram, if you get to Govardhan village, you'll find there's people selling the coins and they get their commission. And then when you go around, you see the people asking for donations. People are chanting Hare Krishna, sitting there with a begging bowl. You can give a few coins here, a few coins there, etc. Or sometimes there's Go Seva. You'll have some people, they have little baskets with some grass, and then they'll try to say to you, oh, give some rupees, and then you can feed the cows, so you can feed the cows. Or you can purchase some bananas to feed the monkeys. They're actually, people think of India as a very poor place. It is, of course, in many respects. But you'll see that people are still, even the Indians themselves, they will still feed the monkeys, the bananas, etc., because they like to be charitable to the animals, etc. So if we don't give in charity, then it makes our parakram not so palatable. We maybe feel a little niggle inside that we don't feel like we're nice people, kind of thing. And being charitable, it's not just about being nice, but actually it's part of the process of developing spiritually. So I'll try to explain my thoughts on this. If we go to the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Maitreya Rishi speaking to Vidura, he describes five coverings of ignorance created by Lord Brahma. So they are Tamishra, Andatamishra, Tamas, Moha, and Mahamoha. So Tamishra, that's the ignorance where one is does not understand one's eternal identity as servant of Krishna. One does not understand one's constitutional position. So that's a covering of ignorance by Lord Brahma. And probably most of us, we may have theoretical understanding that we're eternal servants of Krishna. What's the famous verse, Mahaprabhu? Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. Krishnera Tatashta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. Lord Chaitanya, he's given us this wonderful shloka, the eternal nature or Jivera Swarup. The Swarup, which means nature or form, of the Jiva is to be eternal servant of Krishna. And we are Krishnera Tatashta Shakti, we're part of the marginal potency of Krishna, and which is Beda Abeda Prakash. We are Beda one with and Abeda. Sorry, we're Beda different and Abeda one with the Lord. So when we don't have understanding of this, this is known as Tamishra, covering of ignorance. And I'm all in this regard. I was recently watching a podcast, Ram Rai Prabhu, who does the New York Harinam. He was describing his pastimes with Ayendra. And he was explaining that there was a period of time when Ayendra was very disturbed because he wanted to know his spiritual identity. And he didn't know, and it was really, really bothering him. And then at some point, Krishna gave him mercy and pacified him. And Ram Rai describes how he underwent a transformation. Ayendra Prabhu, he became very absorbed in speaking Krishna Katha, speaking Bhagavat philosophy to whoever wanted to hear. And he'd give long darshans and he'd talk and talk and talk. And he could talk forever. He was like a fountainhead of ruchi, of taste. And I was thinking about this. I mean, it's such an important question. Who are we? And yet we tend not to worry too much about it. And I think Ayendra Prabhu is a great example of someone who actually worried. He thought, well, wait a minute, I don't know who I am. This is actually a serious thing, and I should actually take it very seriously to try and pray to the Lord, chant the holy names of the Lord with sincerity, and beg that he actually reveal my relationship with the Lord. And if we don't do that, it's kind of we're kind of agreeing to ignorance. You see, we can practice devotional service, we can get initiated, we can chant our rounds, etc. But at the same time, there may be something else going on in our lives. We have our family, our job, our career aspirations, where we're planning to have our next holiday, and all that's going on, and that we're not really taking the process seriously. If we took the process seriously, we'd actually be worried. Well, wait a minute, I don't know who I am. I'm in ignorance of my actual identity. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and yet I'm still in ignorance, and we should start to worry. You know, why is this? Now, one of the reasons we don't advance is the 10 offenses to the holy name. Now, the 10th offense to consider, what is it, to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. This is one of the hardest offenses to get rid of. And why is it? Because we have this false identity. The actual Sanskrit is aham mamadi parama. We consider I and mine to be the most important thing. So the idea here is, once we've heard about the glories of the holy name, if we still maintain this concept of I and mine, then we're actually offenders to the holy name. So going back to the coverings of ignorance, one of those coverings is called moha, which is exactly this. It's the concept of I and mine. So we should understand that actually Lord Brahma, when he creates this universe, he creates this covering of ignorance, I and mine. And as long as we live in that mindset, we're actually offenders to the holy name, because we've heard the glories of the holy name, and yet we still maintain the I and mine concept. So in Kevalastikam, it is said, Abrahma stamba paryantam sarva maya mayam jagat satcham satcham puna satcham harinama eva kevalam. That from the lowest up to the highest, just from the clump of grass up to Lord Maya, or up to Lord Brahma, all this in the universe is all Maya. And there's only one truth. Satyam, Satyam, Puna Satyam, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam. The holy name is everything. So sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to solve our problems. But one way to solve our problems is that they just dissolve because they're insignificant. You can solve a problem by trying to actually solve it, or else you can just see it from a different perspective. When I was in India and I was looking at my life in Britain, I was thinking, you know what, I get too much involved in my day-to-day life in the UK. And I was thinking, you know, it's all a bit of an illusion. You know, being in the Holy Dham is actually where it's at, you know, and we should go there more often. I think this is, Prabhupada actually said, there's one purport where Prabhupada, or one comment where Prabhupada says, we should spend 6 months a year in the Holy Dham recharging, and then 6 months in the West preaching. I'm not there yet, but it's a nice idea. So to just continue in the coverings of ignorance, and it ties in with charity. I'm going to link this to charity. So the other coverings are, one of them is called Andhata Mishra, which means to think death is the final thing. There's nothing after death. Death is the end. And we see in this, especially in Western philosophers, many of them were proponents of there is nothing after life. You know, there's nothing after death. And they can write very eloquently on this topic, but ultimately, according to the Bhagavatam, this is actually ignorance. And those that resonate with these philosophers, they are ignorant people as well. Anda yatandaya rupaniya manasti pisha tantriyam rupagiya damni. Lord Prahlad Maharaj says, it is simply the blind leading the blind. So even these great philosophers, they may write very articulately on their philosophy that there is nothing after death, but ultimately it's just eloquent ignorance. That's all it is. So we've discussed Tamishra, Andhata Mishra. I discussed Moha. There's another type called Tamas. Tamas means not understanding the spirit soul. So we are spirit souls. Therefore, we need to understand who we are. And it's a fundamental question, and we have to take it seriously. And I'll give you an analogy. Suppose it's Christmas Day, and someone gives you a present, and you open it up, and you see the little flat screen. Now, nowadays, there's so much technology. When you see a flat screen, you're not quite sure what it is. Is it a Kindle? Is it a large mobile phone? Is it a tablet? Is it some slick computer with the keyboards hidden or something? We don't know what it is. But the first thing you're going to know is you're going to find out, what is this? You're going to look at the instruction manual and see what you're going to get out of this. But when we have our human form of life, we don't do the same. We don't actually think to ourselves, what is the purpose of human life? And why is that? Because human life has a dual purpose. You can either use it for satisfying your senses, or you can use it for self-realization. You know, in the 12th canto, it's 11th canto, it says, Labdva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavanti. Manushyam artadam anicham api hadiraha. Turnam yateta napated anumrityayavan nisre asaya vishaya sarvatra kalo sarvatrasyad. That this material body, it offers so much facility for sense gratification, but it also offers nishreya, which means ultimate well-being. Therefore, it's advised that if we attain this rare human form of life, then we should spend our time, as long as we are able, na patet, as long as we do not fall down due to illness, anumritya, as long as we do not succumb to death, we should spend our time, all our energies, in trying to uncover our eternal identity. Which goes back to Ayendra Prabhu. He was very serious about chanting the holy names in order to attain the goal of life, which is Krishna Prema. Prema Pramarto Mahan, the Lord. Lord Chaitanya, his instruction is Arajo Bhagavan. Brajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Brindavanam Ramya Kachadapasana Brajabadu Vargena Ya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Maham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabharma Tamidam Tatravdara Na Paraha. The key teachings of Mahaprabhu are Arajo Bhagavan, the Lord, as Krishna, Brajesha Tanaya, he is the ultimate object of worship. And just like he is the ultimate object of worship, his holy dham is also the ultimate object of worship. Tadama Brindavanam. The highest form of worship, Ramya Kachadupasana Brajabadu. Brajabadu means the gopis. Vargena Yakalpita, that is the highest form of worship. Srimad Bhagavatam, Pramanamamalam, the highest form of proof is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prema, Pramarto Mahan. Prema is the ultimate goal of life. So we're discussing the quality, the coverings of ignorance, and I missed one out, which is Mahamoha. So moha was aham mama, the I mine concept. This leads to Mahamoha, which means the desire for sense gratification. And when I was a teenager, I would go out with my friends and we'd go out drinking, and it was just a terrible thing to do. And the next morning I'd be vomiting. But this is the kind of madness for, you know, material enjoyment. And this is one of the coverings of ignorance. And Rishabhdev says, Nunam pramata kurate vikarma yadindriya prite apranoti nasadumanye yata atmano yam asannapi kleshada asadeha. That due to madness, we perform vikarma, which means impious activity, which results in repeated birth and death. You see? So this desire for sense gratification is, the desire actually is, comes from sinful activities. When we perform a sinful activities, it sows a desire. It actually starts off as an inclination. I mean, I smoked a little bit when I was a teenager. The first time I smoked, I didn't like it. But after a few times, I liked it. So this is known as kutta. You perform a sinful activity, you get a desire. That desire becomes bija, which means a seed of the actual desire to perform a sinful activity. And then you perform the sinful activity, and then you get, that results in aprarabdha karma, which means you have a reaction which is yet to be, to actually fructify. And then there's prarabdha karma, finally it fructifies. So when we suffer, we should understand that we shouldn't be resentful of our own suffering in this material world, because it's prarabdha karma, it's something to do with our past activities. So to get rid of this illusion, one way to do it is to give in charity. You see, why is it difficult to give in charity? Because we have this aham, mama conception. We're thinking it's mine. So what does the Ishupanasad say? Ishavashyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagacham chena taktena bunjata magrida kashya svittanam. That everything in this universe belongs to the Lord. It's controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, we should only take our quota. So one of the ways to make spiritual advancement, or one of the necessities, is we should only take what is necessary. We shouldn't take more than necessary. And Prabhupada gives the example. If you leave a bag of grain, you know, the birds will come and take what they need. Various animals will take what they need. But then a human being comes, they will take what they need, and then they'll take extra, and they'll store it for later. So this is the human disease. They always like to plan ahead. It said, this is a strict, if you're brahmachari, if you decide to say prasadam, that means you're ready for grihastha life. You shouldn't be thinking ahead like that. I was very fortunate. I was doing some Harinam Sangatam with Harinam Ruchi in Mayapur. And I said to them, you know, I'm coming on Harinam, but I need to arrange my meal ticket so I get a meal afterwards. And Vishnujan said, oh, I just leave it up to Krishna, he said. Not thinking, oh, that's very good of you. But you're a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, so I think differently. I need to plan my meals ahead. So I went. So he said, okay, that's fine. So I was playing the accordion, and then he went off, bought me a meal ticket, and came back. There's your meal ticket. Thank you very much. I'm now peaceful. I carry on with the Harinam. But anyway, so this ignorance called moha, I and mine, to tackle this, we should give in charity. And we should feel the pinch. So, you know, tomorrow, who's giving class tomorrow? It's Vaisheshika Prabhu. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but it might be the case that Divyanam Prabhu might try to encourage people to sponsor Techaino Charitamrita sets. He sometimes does, especially when his guru's here. I'm hoping he does. If he does, then you should think about yesterday's class, as in today's class. You should think, well, actually, Govinda Das says you should give in charity. The reason we don't want to give in charity is because we're attached, I and mine. That's the covering of ignorance of Lord Brahma, that he has put us all in that situation. But if we are serious about our giving in charity to the Vaishnavas, to the deities, etc., then what will happen? That concept will disappear. You know, Parashram's got some lovely mantras. I don't know, remember, he was once on primetime TV. It was called Food Glorious Food. It's one of those cooking competitions. So he asked me to come. It was filmed at Nebworth House. Is that the name of the place? It's near Stevenage. So I came. A group of us came by minibus. And he wanted us to do Harinam Sankirtan. So Lloyd Grossman, I don't know if you know Lloyd Grossman, he was the presenter. So he's inviting in Parashuram, and just at that time, the Harinam party comes in. So the national TV get to hear the Harinam Sankirtan, and Parashuram sits down, and then he tries the dish, and he says he's done it really nicely. He said he's beautifully spiced. And then he said to Parashuram, he goes, but it's lacking in color. Parashuram said, yeah, there's no artificial color. And he said, there's no natural color either. And he said to him, he goes, you know, this is not really the winner of the competition. Their product was going to be sold in the supermarkets. So he said to Parashuram, he goes, this isn't really, it was Kedgeri actually. He makes the plainest possible dish, which you can feed to thousands of people. But he called it Poor Man's Feast. Actually, the TV cameras, they came and they filmed the kirtan here, and they filmed Parashuram in the kitchen, etc., and they filmed the grounds of Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he ended up saying, if I could give a prize for good work, I'd give you the prize, because he's distributing to the homeless, but I give you my thanks. So Parashuram was out on the first round. He didn't make it any further. So Kedgeri was not going to be sold in the supermarkets. But in that clip, he said, it's good to receive, but it's even better to give. So this is what Jesus said as well. It's better to give than to receive. And another mantra that Parashuram has, he says, no one ever became poor by giving, which I think is wonderful. And Parashuram is a perfect example of that, because he's always giving, and then people always give to him. Whether it's business people, they have a property in central London, and they're thinking the insurance premiums are going to be too high if this is an unoccupied building. So they then say to Parashuram, would you like to occupy this building? So then he takes over the building, and he does his operation from the building. They get lower insurance premiums, and there's somewhere for Parashuram to do his cooking, etc. So Parashuram, everyone's always giving, or they're giving vans, etc., to Parashuram. So we should have faith that if we just give, Krishna will give back. And this is described in the Bhagavad Gita. It's known as the Evam Pravartitam Chakram, the established chakra. Chakra means a cycle. So this is in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Evam Pravartitam Chakram. Nanuvartayatiyahi. Anyone know the verse? Agayur Indriya Ramo Mogam Parta Sajivati. If one does not perform the cycle of sacrifice as prescribed in the Vedas, one lives one's life in vain. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, one lives in vain. Moga means one lives in vain. So mogam parta sajivati. One's life is considered to be a waste of time if one is a miser. And in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it says, kripana pala hetavaha. One who works with the fruit of mentality, that person is called a kripana. Kripana means a miserly person. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu quotes a verse from Vishnu Purana, Vishnu Shakti Para Prakta, Kshetra Gyakya Tatapara, Avidya Karma Sangyanya Tutiya Shakti Arishati. That the Lord's energies are threefold. There is the Vishnu Shakti, the internal potency. There's the Kshetra Gya, the Jivas, marginal. And then there's the external potency, and in this verse it's described as avidya karma, work in ignorance. And Prabhupada translates it as fruit of activity. So we should understand that the fruit of mentality is nothing more than ignorance. And sometimes we glorify it because we think, oh, this person's wonderful, they're a responsible householder, they're holding down a great job, they've got a big house, they've got a big extension, they're living in central London, etc., etc. But actually, the fruit of mentality, if that person does not engage fully in devotional service, that is actually a type of ignorance. And we can glorify it because it's at least it's not, there's different types of ignorance. It's kind of, it's the passion ignorance of development as opposed to the kind of the indolence. There's a type of ignorance where one is too ignorant in the mode of ignorance to even do anything. So people like who never go, who's said in the Bhagavad Gita, those people whose endeavor never goes past the point of dreaming, that person's in the mode of ignorance. But one in the mode of passion, they're progressive. They're into economic development, etc. And sometimes we glorify that because at least they're responsible. But we should understand the highest platform that such a person is actually in the mode of ignorance. So Prahlad Maharaj, he explains what happens when we put Krishna at the center, and it's in reference to deity worship. Naivatmana prabhor yam nijalabha purno manam janada vidusha karuno vrinita yad yad jano bhagavati vidadita manam tajchatmani pratimukasya yatamaka shri. If we give to the deities, if we serve the deities, offer things to the deities, actually they're in need of nothing, but they accept our offering out of their mercy. Is described, the Lord is described as nija labha purna, meaning he needs nothing. You know, we can find the best piece of fruit, we can find the best pomegranate even. One time I do backup service, one time I went to the kitchen and I saw a melon and I cut it up, put it in the bowls to offer the deities, and Ananta Gopal, who was the head pujari at the time, he came into the room and he saw the melons and he went, don't offer melons, they're not the best quality. So we scrapped that idea and he found some pomegranates and we all kind of broke open the pomegranate, and there's a way to tap them nicely and we offered pomegranate instead. So the point about, as it said in Rupa Goswami says, you should offer the best. If you have whatever fruit you have, you should offer the best. And anything, any jewelry, offer the best. Whatever you have, you should offer the best. And it's hard to do that because we want to keep the best for ourselves. But what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, yad yad chano bhagavati vidaditamanam tachchatmani pratimukasya yatamukashri. Just as if you decorate your face, then the reflection of your face becomes beautiful. In the same way, if we decorate Krishna, then we become beautiful. So what is real beauty? It's not skin deep. Real beauty is, if you meet a pure devotee, you'll see a real beautiful person. Prabhupada was beautiful. People loved Prabhupada. They loved his way he walked. His smile was said to be oceanic. He was charming in every way. And that beauty comes through this devotional service. If we offer everything to Krishna, then we become beautiful. And we follow the path known as the Navritti Marg, which means the path of giving up. It said, Pravrittiresha Bhutanam Navrittis Tu Maha Pala. That the general tendency is pravritti, to keep for ourselves, to be materialistic. But Navrittis Tu Maha Pala, the greatest fruit is to be renounced. If we can actually renounce properly, and everyone has to renounce, then we will actually become wealthy inside. The greatest wealth is love of Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada's instructions are, we devotees, we don't spend our time decorating ourselves. We live with simple clothes, but we spend our energy decorating Krishna. And that way we become beautiful. That is the process. So the message that I want to give is, we shouldn't be reluctant to give in charity, because by doing so, we will break the aham mama concept of life. By doing that, we will not be committing the 10th offense to the holy name of maintaining material attachments to the holy name. And therefore, we'll transcend the bodily concept of life. We'll be able to absorb ourselves more in the holy names and come to the transcendental platform. And in that platform, we'll be real brahmanas, because a Vaishnava is automatically a brahmana. Like when we get Brahman initiation, the Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha mantra, it's a Vedic mantra, it's not a Vaishnav mantra, it's not traditionally part of the Vaishnav collection of mantras for Gayatri. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he deliberately introduced this in order to tell the world that Brahmins are actually, sorry, that Vaishnavas are already on the platform of Brahmanas. Therefore, they can chant this Brahminical mantra because automatically they're on that platform. Because I mentioned Brahma Janatiti Brahmanaha. In the case of a Vaishnav, that should be Parabrahma. The Vaishnav knows Krishna, and Krishna is Brahma. So the Vaishnav is automatically Brahman realized. And the conclusion of Prabhupada's teachings, Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajgya nam advayam brahmeti paramatmati bhagavaniti shabjati. That the transcendence has three phases, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And Prabhupada explains, if we are Bhagavan realized, then automatically we're Brahman realized and Paramatma realized. Therefore, the Vaishnava is automatically the Brahmana. So we should be good. The best type of giving is to Shastradan, to give the holy name and the books of Srila Prabhupada. The holy name is in the books. If we give the books, then we're actually giving the highest because we're giving the way to get out of this material world as opposed to the type of charity where we can feed the body. And I'm going to finish by making one comment about, it was actually a teaching of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and it's a play on words. He referred to a type of charity called Mandodaya Daya. So Daya means charity. Udaya means gives rise to, and Manda means ignorance. So there's a type of charity that gives rise to ignorance. It's called Manda Udaya Daya. And that means when you feed people, but you don't give them spiritual knowledge. And why is that ignorance? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj explains, because if you give someone comfort, they will stop seeking for the truth. If someone's uncomfortable, then they're going to seek the truth. If we are very comfortable, we're not going to try and become self-realized. We're not going to look for anything else because we're happy with what we got. So the type of uncomfort that hungry people experience can actually help them because it can make them look for something higher. And when you seek something higher, then Krishna will arrange. It's not guaranteed. Bhakcha sanjataya bhakcha. Bhakti comes from bhakti. So the only ultimate qualification to receive devotional service is that you've unknowingly done some service to a Vaishnava or to the holy name or to the just by hearing the holy name or just by circumambulating a temple, you automatically gain what's known as a jñāta sukṛti. But if you're comfortable, if someone's comfortable, they have no impetus to seek the truth. Atato brahma jigyasa, we should seek the truth. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, it's actually not helpful. You've helped someone, you've helped their body, but they no longer are going to look for any alternative because their life's now become comfortable. Therefore, they will lose out on the greatest gift, which is Krishna Prema, or the process of devotional service. So whatever charity we do, we should do it in the mood of we're giving Krishna consciousness. So when we distribute prasadam, we want to distribute prasadam and the holy name and the books. So we give the whole package. If you just distribute prasadam, even that, you know, Lloyd Grossman, he ate prasadam because Parashuram gave him khichdi. So he tried the khichdi. There was no onions, no garlic, but it still tasted nice. So he got spiritual advancement. But the ultimate spiritual advancement is that combined with the holy name and combined with the books. So it's best to distribute prasadam alongside book distributors and the chanting of the holy names. So that's what I wanted to say, and thank you all for your patience. And it's almost time for prasadam. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. So I'll open up for anyone to have any comments or questions. Prayojana Prabhu, thank you. I can always rely on you.
Last night, I usually get prasadam for Janakula, but I was so late, I missed the whole lot. But on the way back, there was this young girl, and she said, oh, no, you missed prasadam. And then she took her prasadam and gave it to me. And I'm not supposed to take sweet. What it was a sweet puri.
Penda?
Yeah. Like a sweet puri type thing. And I thought, she says, oh, you must take this. And I did. And I thought, oh, no, it's sweet. But I thought, no, I must honour it. You know, because it was such a gift of charity. She just gave her prasadam to me on the way back.
Thank you.
And I thought, I know it was a really magic moment that was. And I won't forget that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the pastime of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was offered prasadam and he immediately took it, even though he had not had a bath first thing in the morning. That was a sign that he had actually become a Vaishnav. Vaishnav will honour prasadam, even if they're not properly prepared in terms of having washed and put on tilak, etc. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, today's... Oh, thank you. I was going to say today's Saturday. Saturday's Harinam Day. There's a Harinam in Windsor. There'll be Central London Harinam tonight.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's a very interesting classes. I'm not sure that I understood everything because it's really tough, but it's really juicy. And I was just wondering if the expression self-realization, does it include all the type of realization or only just the last step of realization?
Mm.
So to say, well, Krishna...
Srila Prabhupada does talk about, does self-realization mean all types of self-realization or just the last type? Well, I'm reminded of a verse in the second canto, Muktir, what's it going again? Swarupena Vyavastati. Anyone remember that verse? Oh yes, Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam Swarupena Vyavastati. Mukti means to actually understand one's original nature, a servant of Krishna. So that's what actual mukti is. Regarding self-realization, I think Prabhupada may at times have referred to different types of self-realization, as in Brahman realization, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He certainly refers to these three persons as transcendentalists. So they are transcendentalists. But elsewhere he'll say, he gives the example, you cannot understand the shine without the sun. See, sunshine, to understand sunshine, you have to understand the sun. And we are particles, we're like rays of Krishna. Krishna's like the sun and we're like rays of the sun. So to understand ourselves without Krishna is like trying to understand a sun ray without the sun, which is impossible. So we'd have to double check, did he ever even call it self-realization? It's a type of self-realization to know that you're not this body. So it's one of the, you know, the Mayavadis, they're considered elevated in the sense that they've reached sattva gun. At least they're on the platform of sattva gun, and they have this understanding that they're not the body, and therefore they renounce this world. So to understand aham brahmasmi, I am the spirit soul, there's some credit to that. And is it the self-realization? Well, it could be called partial self-realization. Prabhupada does call it partial realization. So yes, I think you could call it partial self-realization. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Does anyone want the garland?